Hi, my name is George Jalla. I am a pediatric neurosurgeon here at Johns Hopkins Medical Center.
And I'm Elizabeth Tracy. Thank you so much for joining me. Today we're going to talk about something that I know no parent ever wants to hear, and that's pediatric brain tumors. What's the range of brain tumors we see in kids?
The worst thing that any parent can hear is your child has a brain tumor. A parent hears that alarms and sirens are going off. The parent, the child, clearly understands that there's something in their head that doesn't belong there. The immediate reaction is, I need to go to the emergency room right away. And that's not necessarily true. What do we know about pediatric brain tumors? First of all, they are the second most common form of cancer or tumors in children. And they happen to be the most common solid tumor. So the second most common tumor, the first being some of the blood-borne cancers, and then brain tumors in children. Given that it's a solid tumor, not that arises in the brain, we see approximately less than 2,000 cases each year. That's not a lot, but it's still the second most common tumor. What do we know about pediatric brain tumors? Most pediatric brain tumors arise from the brain cells itself or the supporting cells of the brain. It's not like the adult where the tumor may come from elsewhere, such as the lung from someone that may smoke, prostate, kidney, or breast. Tumors in children arise from the brain, and most of the time, they're going to stay in the brain or in the spinal cord. They're going to be contained in the central nervous system. They're unlikely to spread elsewhere, which is good. There are very common tumors that occur. There's also the rare tumors that may occur. It really depends upon the age of the child, because we know that some tumors are more likely to occur in the younger infants or the young children, and other types of tumors are going to occur in the older children. You can't say just based on age what it's going to be. There's just increased likelihood that it's going to be this rather than that. If it's a baby that may have a brain tumor, they're not going to complain that they have headaches, blurred vision, funny sensations, so they may present with a large head. The tumor itself may be causing some pressure, may cause an obstruction of the fluid pathways, and their head begins to expand, and that may suggest a brain tumor, although it can suggest other things. The older children may tell the parents, I've got the headaches, and I've got some nausea, morning vomiting. That's the classic, is headaches, nausea, and vomiting should be of concern to families. That child may need further investigations.
So it sounds like this could be a process. It's not going to be like one day you wake up and your child is profoundly ill. It sounds like these symptoms develop over time.
If we look at it, it takes several months before the diagnosis of a brain tumor is made. So someone orders the MRI scan, and then you see something, and then all of a sudden the alarms are going off. That's not necessarily true. You do need to see a neurosurgeon once you have the diagnosis, but it's not the end of the world at that moment.
Are these tumors normally neuroblastomas? I believe I've heard this term before.
Yeah, neuroblastomas are tumors that arise from a special cell that's really outside of the central nervous system, that near the kidney region or the abdominal. The tumors in children really depend upon the location. So they could be astrocytomas, and those arise from astrocytes. Those are the more common cells in the brain. And in terms of astrocytomas, there's a grading scale from the benign, grade 1, to the more aggressive or more malignant, which is the grade 4. Fortunately, in children, the majority of the tumors are not going to be the grade 4. If you're an adult, it's more likely to be a grade 4. In children, it's more likely to be grade 1, grade 2, maybe grade 3, and on occasion, it may be a grade 4 astrocytoma. The other common tumors that may occur in children is the medulloblastoma. That is a malignant tumor that's in the posterior fossa in the back of the head that does grow a little more rapidly, and surgery is needed for it to try to remove it all, and then those children need other treatments such as chemotherapy and radiation or combination of the two to treat that, because there's a propensity that may spread elsewhere in the brain or the spinal cord. Again, the good news is it's unlikely to leave the central nervous system to go elsewhere in the body. Other types of tumors are tumors that may arise in the optic apparatus. That's the vision pathways. And these children can present with blindness or visual loss or blurred vision. It's an ever slow-growing tumor, but it involves that nerve that's responsible for seeing. And as it's growing, it's putting pressure and causing visual loss. And those tumors do need treatment as well. The other common tumors that can occur or craniopharyngiomas. These are tumors near the pituitary, the hormone center. You know, these children can actually present with some headaches, but they can also present with some hormone imbalance where they're urinating a lot or their growth is stunted. And the pediatrician, the parents note, hey, you know, my child is shorter than the rest of their siblings. That may prompt a workup and make the diagnosis of the tumor. There are many types of tumors that can arise in children. It really depends upon the age of the child because they're more likely to get one particular tumor than the other, as well as the location, where is the tumor in the head. And then how do we make the diagnosis? MRI. I mean, CT is helpful. Majority of the time, we're going to need an MRI scan to better define what this tumor looks like. And once we make the diagnosis, we're going to need a treatment. And the first line is making the diagnosis. You typically require surgery, either to remove it completely or sometimes just to do a biopsy and then treat it with the other modalities such as chemotherapy or radiation. Really, depending upon the tumor type, it could just be surgery. If the tumor is completely removed, essentially we're done. There's no other treatment needed. We just have to follow with MRI scans as that child is growing. Or even though we were able to remove the entire tumor, we may have to treat it with some other modality such as chemotherapy or radiation to ensure that we control it or to try to keep it from growing back in that child.
I'd like to back up just for a second to this idea that you presented, which is some tumors are more aggressive and some are less aggressive. To me, it always seems curious that we would call any aberrant growth in the brain benign. Can you just define that a little bit better? And also, when you're describing treatment, you're pretty much saying to me that surgery is almost always required.
Yes, there are some what I consider low-grade tumors, and if you're able to remove it completely, the chances of it recurring or coming back, they're minimal. Just need to watch it with serial MRI scans, but we don't need to treat it with any systemic chemotherapy or radiation. The more malignant tumors, on many occasions, we're able to completely remove it. We still need to give chemotherapy and radiation to kill any of the remaining cells that may be there or may be in the spinal fluid or elsewhere that we're not seeing on our imaging studies. Those are the aggressive tumors. Those are likely to recur. Those are likely to grow rapidly if we don't give adjuvant therapies. The benign tumors, a lot of times if you take them out, they're not going to do anything for the lifetime of that child. Most of the tumors in children will require surgery. That is true. But, you know, there are some tumors that we know, based on their location and their imaging characteristics, we know that they're benign from previous experience. And we know that they behave indolently, and we know that they're unlikely to grow. Those are the ones that we will just watch. They're going to be benign. We just follow them with serial scans. We may repeat a scan 2 months down the road, 3 months down the road, or 6 months down the road. Because if we do surgery to try to remove it, we may cause more harm than good. I'll tell you, parents are very uncomfortable with that. Doctor, you're telling me my child has a brain tumor that we're just going to watch it? How can you just let that? That's a tumor. It doesn't belong there. Take it out. Well, that's not necessarily true. We can watch these tumors because a lot of them may not grow, and we might never have known about them if that child hadn't been involved in some fall or some trivial accident and got a imaging study.
So I think that's such a great point. We certainly see these, what we call incidentalomas, all over the place in adults as well as children. To return, though, to children, we're both familiar with the idea that pediatric cancers are largely a success story. We've been able to really treat the vast majority of these cancers for a long period of time, in some cases cure them, and the child grows up to live a normal lifespan. Is that true for pediatric brain tumors?
We have available to us many different types of modalities, from advanced surgery, MRIs, the operating room of the future available to us to do these surgeries. We have new chemotherapy protocols. We have new radiation protocols to safely treat these children, to treat these tumors, and avoid the long-term side effects that we saw about 20 years ago. We are avoiding today because of the advances that we've made in medicine as well as surgery.
Very good. So in general then, you would say to a parent who hears these awful words, they should seek a center where there's clearly a lot of expertise for the best outcome?
My advice to any parent is to go to a center that specializes in pediatric brain and spinal cord tumors. And the reason for that is it's not just the surgeon, it's the team approach. You want specialists that are pediatric radiation oncologists, neurosurgeons, and you want a team approach for the treatment of your child. You don't want to go to someplace that says, oh, I only see one or two brain tumors a year. You may get good care, but it's not going to be the best care available for your child.
Excellent. Anything else you'd like to add?
No, thank you.
Thank you so very much.